Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Mother of Sorrows, pray for us. Please be seated. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I would like to share a thought with you today from one of the sermons given, I'm sure, a long time ago by Bishop Fulton Sheen. And he had in his bedroom a large crucifix. I think it was like 4 or 5 feet in length, and he had it hung on the wall. And he wanted it to be the first thing that he looked at when he opened his eyes in the morning. And he wanted it to be the last thing on which his eyes rested before he went to sleep. And the thought that that is very inspiring. I hadn't thought about this until I was listening to one of his talks, again from, I'm sure, many years ago, but he said the reason he wanted to look at the crucifix so often is that, he said, it's the story of my life. And then he went on to explain how it was the story of his life. He said when he beheld that crucifix, and looked at the details of all the suffering, he saw there, as we too should see, every sin and fault we've ever committed. And since we are sinners, our life is essentially a story of our misdeeds, mixed in, of course, with all of our good deeds. But we can never say there was a time in our lives where there was no sin, where there was only goodness, only good deeds. We know we're weak, we're sinful. And so it is true to say that when we look at the crucifix, we are seeing our life. We're seeing how Jesus atoned for every one, every kind of sin. Last Sunday, we reflected upon the two words condign and congruent. Condign means adequate atonement. Congruent means acceptable atonement. And we know that God could have been satisfied, if he willed, with congruent atonement. Have an angel come down and become man and do a special deed, special prayer, special sacrifice, and that will be acceptable. Or have a human being do it. But in the infinite wisdom of God, he was not going to be satisfied with congruent atonement. It was something for us to do, but God saw the necessity of condign atonement, and there was only one person who could do it, and that was God himself. And so the second person became man and didn't just say a simple prayer, simple deed, simple act of love, which would have been enough. But no, he was going to, in a condign way, atone for each and every kind of sin that would be committed until the end of time. It's the story of the human race that we see in the crucifix. When we see those thorns pressing into the skull of Jesus, We see all the sins of pride and all the sins of thought that we and mankind have committed. When we see those eyes filled with blood and tears, we see Jesus atoning for all the times we misused our eyes where we looked at sinful objects. We see his blessed tongue parched with thirst. And he's atoning for every sin of the tongue ever committed. Every sinful word, every bad word. He's atoning for the sins of drunkenness and gluttony, anger or blasphemous words that were uttered with the tongue. His hands are nailed to the cross. And Jesus is atoning for every time we misused our hands. We used our hands to commit sin in some way. Maybe sins of theft, taking something that didn't belong to us. Sins of physically hurting somebody else. We see his skin hanging in ribbons from the scourging, and much of it ripped off when his garment was torn from him before he was nailed. And Jesus atoned for every sin of the flesh, every misuse of the procreative power that has ever been committed in the history of the world and in our own lives. His knees are bleeding. They're not broken. The scripture said that not a bone of him would be broken, and it seems miraculous that through all that suffering it wouldn't happen. But the unblemished lamb of the Old Testament couldn't have any broken bones either. So the true Lamb of God is not going to have any bones broken. My dear brethren, if you've ever suffered a broken bone, you are actually fulfilling what St. Paul says, where we fill up what is lacking in the passion of our Lord. And there was very little lacking in the way of pain and suffering. And we'll never comprehend how much pain and suffering, but disease and broken bones are sufferings that, in a sense, are particularly pleasing to God when we bear them, because those were sufferings that Christ was not going to undergo. But as we see Jesus falling beneath the cross on the way to Calvary and his knees all banged up and swollen and bruised, perhaps he was making up for all the times that we wouldn't get on our knees and spend the time in prayer that we should, neglecting prayer. And then his feet, as we know, are nailed to the cross, atoning for all the times that our feet took us somewhere where we should not have gone. My dear brethren, it is a story of the greatest possible justice and adequate atonement for every kind of sin. And this is just a short list that we've examined today. But it's not just a story of the greatest justice. It's the story of the greatest love imaginable. Every wound, every drop of blood, every suffering in that body was done for love of you and me. St. Paul was overwhelmed by this. He talked about how Christ suffered and gave himself up for me. And every one of us can say that. It was for me. Eternity won't be long enough for us to praise and thank and love God back in return for what he has done, how he has rescued us from the alternative. So as we, in the words of the liturgy, adore the cross this Good Friday, And no, that's not adoration in the absolute sense of the word, but the highest veneration that we give to the crucifix. As we look upon the unveiled cross this Good Friday, let us remember that we are looking at the story of our life. We are seeing how much Jesus loved us and how he wanted to help us to become better, to become holy, and to be with him forever in a glorious paradise. And he's keeping five wounds that will be there for eternity. Even in heaven, it seems, we will need that reminder of what he suffered. His other wounds were healed miraculously, but he's going to keep the five wounds forever. And we will have palm branches in heaven. We just need persevere, my dear brethren. The way is rough. We have a way of the cross to go ourselves. We have to carry our own crosses, bear our own sufferings, endure the test of faithfulness. But that palm that you receive today is your reminder of the reward of the victory that is there. You're carrying palm branches as St. John saw in the apocalypse. So be encouraged, my dear brethren. Let us make it a good observance of this holiest week of the year. And let us thank Jesus for the price that he paid. In union, of course, our Blessed Mother too, she was asked to be part of it. Let us be ever so grateful for what they did for our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.